Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock here on the show. The choice is yours at 8:30. Always looking forward to that. And right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL Draft, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we discussed this briefly yesterday, but I think it's pretty interesting. Obviously, we know that Rand Carthon's coming into a new situation, and they've already made some moves. We've talked about the offensive line and some of the free agency decisions that they've made. And obviously, the first big move that Rand Carthon made was signing Jeffrey Simmons to the contract extension. So he's gotten that order of business out of the way, and that was something that I think most Titans fans would agree needed to take care of, and he took care of it. Now the draft is coming. We're 8 days away from the first round of the draft, and we kind of threw the scenario out there yesterday of, man, what a bold move that is if you're Rand Carthon coming in your first year, and let's say they do get into the quarterback discussion and they end up taking a quarterback, whether that's at 11 or especially if that's trading up to like number three to go get one, that's a heck of a move for a general manager coming in for his first draft with his new team. What exactly would that tell us? What exactly would we learn about Rand Carthon? So keeping that scenario on the table, but also the scenario that we've been talking about all morning of staying at 11, maybe taking an offensive lineman and going that way. There's a lot of different ways this could go in the draft in the first round next week. What will, whatever happens, whether that's staying where they are, moving up to get a quarterback, whatever it is, what will that tell us about Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, that dynamic heading into this draft, how they view these teams or this team, all of the above, as we sit here 8 days away from the draft?
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, I think it's going to be hard, I think, to draw, like, you know, strong conclusions on, you know, like Rand Carthon as a GM. I mean, I do think that if the quarterback move is made, that certainly there's a, hey, not afraid to get right into things, you know. But this is just different than the John Robinson thing. Because of Vrabel. I mean, it's just so like it's – and I know you can go back through Robinson picks. I mean, you know, I've heard different things about different decisions that some – maybe Vrabel was pushing more for this or that. You know, it's not like Vrabel didn't have a voice. Of course he had a voice. I mean, I think it's clear that Vrabel had a voice against trading A.J. Brown. Yes. He was right.
Yes, he was.
But I think Vrabel's voice means more now, for sure. So – I do think that we will learn how they, because I do, I have to look at it like a collective now, which is true of a lot of teams. You know, you have the GM, but I, like, when the Rams do something, like, that's Sean McVay. Hey, Matthew Stafford, let's go have some pina coladas at the pool and talk about you maybe being a Ram. You know, I think of it as McVay. Where Rand Carthon came from, I think of it as Shanahan along with Lynch, yep. You know? But I think we'll learn – well, certainly what we're going to learn is, do they think they can actually hang with people and make a run this year, or do they really look at it like a reset, rebuild, whatever? It is still kind of in limbo on that. That's my big thing is, like, I don't have a clear vision of what path they're taking yet.
I don't either, and it's really like they could make two moves with their first two picks that would kind of signal to me that they still think they could win. Like if they take an offensive lineman and receiver at 11 and 41, I mean, that tells me, okay, well, they've got Tannehill coming back, they've got Henry coming back, they've revamped the offensive line, now they're adding to the receiving core, and they think they're going to give it a shot this year. I mean, they're two moves away from telling me that they think that they could still win. Now, look, maybe that's just how the board breaks, and those are the best players available at the time, and that's just what they do. But, I mean, obviously, if they did the extreme scenario of moving up to go get the quarterback, that would tell you that they're looking towards the future at that point.
But like you just said, I mean, that's what's really interesting is, like, is the board just going to dictate their path?
Right.
And they're like, he's there. Okay, we're rebuilding, or he's not there. Okay, let's try to be good this year.
Right.
And you're having that discussion on draft night. I mean, I know that may sound silly to some people, but I can buy it. I mean, well, you have to react to what you can do and what's available to you.
Well, the bottom line is, like, they've, at this point, 8 days out of the draft, they've prepared for just about every conceivable scenario at this point of boards falling the way that they do. Now, sometimes things happen in the draft that nobody sees coming, and you got to react in real time to that. But, I mean, there, I would assume, have been a lot of preparation of, all right, what if so-and-so goes here, and what if so-and-so goes here, and we get to 11, and it's the scenario you brought up earlier of, man, we like this offensive lineman. He just went the pick two picks before us, and now there's a corner on the board that we love. I mean, I'm sure that scenario has been talked about too. I mean, it's there's a lot of different things you got to prepare for. Just the quarterback part of this, and you brought up this point yesterday. I think it's important to make. Yes, it would be a bold move for a general manager in his first year, no question about it. But as you said, he's not making that move unless Vrabel's 100% on board with
it. Yeah, it's what have we decided on? It's Vrabathon.
Vray Ran
or Vrabathon?
Either one's fine with me. I like both.
Michelle?
The second one.
What Vrabathon?
Is it? Vrabathon?
Vrabathon?
Where's the B coming?
I thought decided that was more of like a...
that's more of a
telethon
like,
thing.
Yeah, right. And we got the Vrabathon, everybody. Hey, call in.
I still kind of like it.
Jared Stillman will juggle ice cream cones for the next 10 hours. So Vray Ran.
While hanging out with Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah. Vray Ran. Okay. That's what it is. It's the combination. I think it became that anyway. I mean, I think when Mike Vrabel did what he did in 2019, his second season, and took him to the AFC title game, I think he got more of a voice right there. That's what happens.
That's what should happen.
Prove that, show that you're a really good coach, then you should have more and more of a say over, you know, as Bill Parcells put it, the groceries that are chosen. So, yeah, there is not one move here where Vrabel's like, no, Will Levis, get out of here. Sorry, Vrabes, we're taking Levis.
You're outvoted.
Maybe he's saying that about Bryce Young, that he's too small, Joe.
Oh, God. Well, then fire Vrabel. Fire whoever says that.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Owen. Owen, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys, love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know, if we were to take a wide receiver, who is that looking like, and how would the season differ if we did trade up for Richardson instead of taking just a safe play with a wide receiver and an offensive lineman? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Owen. Appreciate you. The wide receiver, if you're going to go wide receiver at 11 to me, Joe, it's probably going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like, that's the one guy at 11 that I think could be in play. If it's not him at 11, I don't really know that there's another one that'll be in play. Now, there's always surprises in the first round, but I'd be pretty surprised if it was anybody other than him at 11. And honestly, depending on who you talk to, we've talked about this, some people don't know if they'd take him to 11 if he was there, just because of, is he really worth the number 11 overall pick? If it's not going to be a wide receiver at 11, then you're talking about finding a wide receiver later in the draft, second, third round, somewhere in that area. And we've talked about a bunch of different guys that could be. But Smith and Jigba is probably the one guy at 11 that I think they could consider.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It seems like, I mean, early in this process, everybody was on Quentin Johnston.
He has fallen dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to even look where, I guess, Dane's got him high in the second. I mean, for example, you know, he's got Smith and Jigba going 20 in his latest. So, I mean, that's... Titans, which, good to disagree with that, but that's probably more about where he should go.
It probably is, but like also it's a wide receiver, and I think somebody's going to get tempted by taking the top wide receiver in the draft before then.
You're probably right, yeah. But as far as the question of what it looks like if they draft Richardson, first of all, well, then the next question there is, like, do they have any opportunity to move Tannehill? I don't think so. So I think Tannehill's the quarterback next year, and I think especially if it's Richardson, you do not want him starting as a rookie. So, it'd be a really interesting scenario around here. It's like you did some addressing of the offensive line, but you went and you told Ryan Tannehill, here's your last year. And by the way, your last year, it might be tough sledding out there, buddy.
Yeah.
But what's the rest of the draft look like? If you go get two good receivers after that, but again, the problem is if you're moving up, you're trading away 41, I'm sure.
For sure,
right? You don't have a fourth round pick. So you're probably your next, you know, so your first non-quarterback pick is the third round.
Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe you could still get a good receiver there. You still have a good defense next year. If your offensive line fixes work out and you get an interior offensive lineman later, you could still be good next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the
question. But if you're Tannehill, you got to be sitting there like, oh, yay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if it was in order to get Anthony Richardson, if it worked out ideally and you didn't have to move and you stayed there at 11, then you're talking about you could still take somebody at 41 and somebody in the third round, whether at wide receiver on the offensive line, and move up that way. If you're moving up to go get him, then next year's team is going to be Ryan Tannehill, what you've done on the offensive line to this point, maybe another offensive line pick on the interior in like the third round, and Treylon Burks, and
well, you have Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm just saying throwing the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips running around out
Chig.
There. Chig. So, I mean, that'd be what it is.
It doesn't have to be terrible. You're probably a middling team. I mean, your defense will keep you in games,
yes.
Right? So, like, you'll be a middling team. You're not going to be, like, you're not going to be like a 4-13 team.
Not if you can stay healthy.
In that scenario, right?
Not if you can stay healthy.
But you might be a 7-10 team.
Which makes me nervous about this team staying healthy.
That's true.
But maybe they're due. I said that last year. Are they actually due this year to stay healthy?
Third time's a charm.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the NFL draft coming up next. Speaking of the draft, make sure you tune into Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 1025-1063 The Game for the first three rounds coming up on Thursday, April 27th and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. JC in Goodlettsville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, is Anthony Richardson not a Power 5 Malik Willis? Weren't the same things said about Willis last year leading into the draft?
People did not talk about Willis like he might be the best athlete to ever enter the draft at quarterback, or that he was overwhelmingly talented, had the highest ceiling they've ever seen, is going to go high in the draft for sure, et cetera, et cetera. Some people thought he would go high in the draft. Somebody had, what, McShay have him like?
But never number one overall pick.
Well, no, but McShay had him for a while. There was thought he could go number two, and I think as early or as late as like draft day, some people thought that he could go number six.
Right, but there was a wide range, including some people thinking he's not at all a first round
Correct. Pick,
and he wasn't. Of course, he went in the third round. I mean, it's so no. I mean, he's the first of all. If you're saying this quarterback is a Power 5 version of this quarterback, well, why is one quarterback in Power 5 and one isn't? One started in Power 5 and then went to Liberty. So no, I mean. Like there was some excitement about Willis's traits, for sure, in what people were calling a historically terrible quarterback draft. This is a good quarterback draft, massively improved from last year, and you're talking about a guy who, like, again, I would not risk everything on this guy, but someone will.
Yes.
And some people believe, like, this is as talented a player as they've seen coming at the position. No, it's not a good comparison.
Henry on the text line says, what if the Titans draft to get better and Tannehill takes them all the way to the Super Bowl and wins? What kind of extension would you give him, if any? This is from Henry on the text
line. None. Hey, thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, see ya. I will say this. If they win
Malik
the Super Bowl.
Malik Willis is on this roster. Bye.
If they win the Super Bowl, yeah, he'll probably get an extension.
Or maybe he'll be like, well, thanks, but no thanks. You had your chance.
Now, also, if they win the Super Bowl with the roster that they're going to have offensively, even if they do address the offensive line and a wide receiver or two in the draft, he needs an extension at that point.
I would say so. Also, what would we be calling? See, Vrabenator does not work. Carthable? Nah. But someone threw out Ranbell because their answers are rambling. Ranbell. Oh, okay. Whatever you call them. I like that. I like Vray Ran.
No, I like Ranbell.
What
can,
about
like, yell it?
Ran. Oh, I had one I wrote in The Athletic recently. Ran MVC.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
You know, you've heard of Run DMC,
yeah,
right? Bro. You've never heard of Run DMC? Holy crap. I'm going to punch myself in the face. Dude.
Does that surprise you?
I mean, you've heard of Run DMC.
Yes, I've heard of Run DMC.
Robbie's an old soul, though.
What, dude, what kind of bubble did you grow up in?
I didn't grow up in a bubble.
Like one of those snow globes?
Yeah, they shook me all the time.
Anyway, yeah, Ran MVC. I'll put that to the people.
Joe just like looks at me to get a reaction. He's like, no,
this may
don't
be the
you
most,
say it.
It might be the most disappointed he's ever been in you.
I mean,
even more so than the movies you haven't seen.
Holy cow. We have people asking about different bump music. We need to immediately start. You need to throw in some Run DMC tunes for some bump music. But anyway, the point I was going to make. I am shook right now, man. I am
you
shook.
Are.
Is if that does happen, that Rand MVC will also get extensions. Amy will give them like
yes.
$40 million a year each. So extensions for everybody.
Yes. I mean, look,
holy crap.
The other part of this, like, so we had a texter say, is Malik Willis still on the roster? Yes. Yes, he is. He's still on the roster. He's the forgotten man in the discussions nowadays, which – I get it. I mean, we've talked about the Malik Willis part of this, but I will say, like, what happens if they draft a Richardson or a Levis or whoever it is, and they're keeping Tannehill around for the young guy to learn by? Like, does Malik Willis even make it to training camp at that point on the roster?
To me, it's a simple. Well, he's around in the spring, and it's not a bad thing to have him in camp. I guess. I mean, look, is there anybody out there who would look at his college film? The problem is, like, if he didn't play at all last year, but the thing is, if he didn't play at all last year, we'd be talking about this. We'd be like, well, you got Malik Willis. What are you guys
exactly
talking about, right?
Yeah.
But is there anybody out there who would be willing to throw you a six-round pick for him?
Man, I'd be surprised.
Other than that, you put him on waivers, and is anybody out there putting him on their active roster?
I mean, what'd they get for Isaiah Wilson? Was that a six-round pick?
Something like that. It was low.
At least he's first-rounder. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I think you put him on waivers, and it's very possible he goes through. Would you keep him around on your practice squad?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because if it went the other way and you drafted a quarterback and your plan was to have that quarterback play – and you moved on from Tannehill, whether that was cutting him, which I think would be unlikely, or if you somehow found a trade for him. Like, to me, you would then have to go find somebody who has played some snaps in this league and is a veteran quarterback. Like, if you've got Tannehill, though, you've got the veteran, and then you've got your pick that you just made at number 11 or wherever it would be. Like, how would you view that third guy? Would it need to be another veteran, or would it need to – like, let's say it's Richardson. You don't want Richardson playing, right?
Right.
So would you then need to go find another backup quarterback where Richardson is really the three, not the two at that point? I don't know.
Maybe. But I think ultimately you probably just look at, yeah, you don't want Richardson playing, but if Tannehill gets hurt, then okay. Everybody wants to see their rookie.
Yeah.
Some more people show up at the stadium to watch him. You're probably just going with those two, I think.
It could be. Tannehill, you draft Richardson, you keep Willis around, and Tannehill gets hurt, it's Malik, hop in there, buddy. It's your time.
You never know. But it's a fair thing to bring up, is just the Malik Willis situation. He is like a complete afterthought as we talk about the draft. Now, once the Titans draft Peter Skoronski, then we can again return to, yes, how's Malik Willis doing?
I got a texter that says, Monty Ossenfort signed Dennis Daly. Maybe he would take Willis in the move to number three. That's from a texter.
Building the perfect offense. Monty Ossenfort, evil genius.
There's Dennis Daly at left tackle and Kyler Murray's backup quarterback / stand-in when he's playing Call of Duty, Malik Willis back there in the backfield. Gotta love it.
I'm sure Malik Willis would be excited, too, about the opportunity to go there and be protected by Dennis Daly.
Yes. Tim on the text line says, is there a 0% chance that Malik Willis can learn? This is from Tim on the text line.
Well, no. But, no, look, I am not in the camp that just for his career's over, forget about it. I mean, he was bad last year when he played. No, I don't think there's a 0% chance. I mean, if you're Malik Willis right now, you should be grinding in every way you can. And I still think he has some.
Which I think he probably is.
Yeah. And I think he has talent. So now Malik Willis is. I'd love to see, you know, him drastically improve and whether it's here or somewhere else, get a shot. I mean, it's amazing how, again, the unknown is so undefeated. And when you get a glimpse at someone who's not ready and you just, you know, you do the Jared. He sucks. He just sucks. He sucks. You know. It's just knee-jerk garbage reaction.
It is, but he's so far away. Like, he's so far away from being a starting quarterback that it's difficult for me to get there that he's ever going to be that level. I mean, the question with him, to Tim's point, and kind of this conversation now is, like, can he learn to be a backup?
Right.
Like, that's the thing with me. But we're so far away. Like, based on what he looked like last year, like, starting quarterback is not even within the realm of current possibility for me with him.
I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it. But if you tell me right now that Malik Willis, you know, it's like Stetson Bennett, you know, like at some point I bet you he starts like four games for some NFL team and does well and everybody's like, whoa, yep. No way. If you tell me that at some point Malik Willis starts for an NFL team and does pretty well and looks way better than he did last year, that's not going to shock me. Do I think he projects to be like someone's quarterback in the NFL? No.
Andy Reid.
But there's still a long gap between that. He just sucks and he's just worthless. Sure. You know.
Andy Reid said after the game last year that he thinks Malik Willis is going to be pretty good. So he likes what he looks the future for Malik Willis. I'm just saying, Andy Reid, pretty good evaluator of quarterbacks.
Yeah, he does. He is.
That was also the game where he threw two perfect passes in the hands of like Chris Conley and Nick Westbrook Kinney and didn't catch ball.
He actually threw some pretty good fades that night that needed to be caught.
He did.
And they would have beat the Chiefs on the road.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Troy from Nashville. Troy, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Just wanted to give a comment on the quarterback situation. I think we're rebuilding because we don't have a top 10 quarterback in the AFC. You look at all the playoff teams, they got a top-tier quarterback or a top-tier quarterback on the rise. And I believe Tannehill has been proven that what he is, he's not a top-tier NFL quarterback. So it's time to move on.
Thanks for the call, Troy. I mean, that's if you're making that decision, if you're the Titans, that's what you got to think. We've talked about this before. It's not only the quarterbacks that you're looking at to go get, but it's also looking at who you got to beat, right? You got to beat Mahomes, and you got to beat Burrow, and you got to beat Allen, and those guys aren't going anywhere, and that equation is not going to change for you if you're in the AFC. More on the draft coming up next, 615-737-1025. We'll also get into the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs. Grizz with a big game tonight against the Lakers. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Whiskey Myers at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on May 6th. Be the third caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, y'all? I just wanted to – y'all were just about to talk about the NHL playoffs, and I wanted to comment on it.
Yep.
Yes, this was two nights ago, but Nick David still continues to impress me. He was playing against the Kings and – or no, yeah, Kings, sorry. And he – in the first period, he split three defenders like – 2 feet away from the net, shot on net. Unfortunately, he didn't score, but splitting three defenders is just ridiculous.
Yep. Thanks for calling, Nate. I mean, turns out that Connor McDavid's pretty good.
He didn't have a point, though.
He did not have a point, which is a rare occurrence so far this year.
Which means 6 points incoming.
Yeah.
Hat trick and three assists.
Well, in all seriousness.
To Draisaitl for a hat trick.
That's a big one for them tonight. I mean, a lot of people, myself included, think this is their year. Like, they're my pick to win. And I think they got it. Their goalie concerns me. He's a young kid. He's been pretty good for the most part. But with Ekholm coming in, they were kind of like, he was the perfect fit for them. They were 18-2-1 heading into the playoffs with Ekholm in their lineup, which is just an absurd number. They got to win tonight. I mean, you can't go down 0-2 back to L.A. with the pressure that will be on that team. Need to win one tonight. I imagine you'll see Connor McDavid put a few in the back of the net tonight, be my guess.
I would think so. Yeah, they got to have it, man. Got to have it. And I'm with you. I'd love to see an Oilers run here. It would be a lot of fun.
I had the Oilers-Rangers pick. I got to say, I watched the Rangers-Devils yesterday. Rangers are a wagon. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good.
I like it.
Speaking of the playoffs yesterday, like I said, the Rangers destroyed New Jersey. They take down the Devils 5-1. Tampa Bay marches into Toronto yesterday and win 7-3, and they scored like a minute and a half into the game, and I thought, oh, God, here we go again.
And keep picking Toronto.
As you would expect. I mean, things are going very well in Toronto. It's a very calm reaction. This was actually the year that I did pick Toronto. Like, last year, Toronto was the sexy pick, right? It was like, yeah, this is their time. They're taking down Tampa Bay. And I was like, y'all are insane. Like, this is crazy to me. And it ended up being a great series, and Tampa Bay 1-7. But this year, I thought this is Toronto's year, and they can get it done. Now, it was a costly win for Tampa Bay last night because Hedman got hurt, and then there was just a cheap hit by Michael Bunting from Toronto. He's going to get suspended on Eric Chernak, and that's two of their most veteran defensemen that were out of the game. They finished the game last period last night with four guys on defense. So if those two guys are out, that's going to be a pretty big deal for the Lightning. But, I mean, to go on the road – hang up seven against Toronto in the first game. That place booed the heck out of the Leafs after the first period of the playoffs. It was just everything we've come to know and love about the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs on full display last night. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And your boy Yarncroke scored for Toronto last night.
Of course he did, boy Cali. Yeah, Vingan had some really good Simpsons gifts in response to the meltdown in Toronto.
Oh, yes.
It's amazing, just, man.
Beautiful stuff. How about this?
Just blow it up.
Seattle Kraken last night. They waltz into Colorado, and they take down the defending cup champs 3-1 last night. And you know who scored the first goal? Nice interception behind the net, and Ellie Tolvanen just waltzes right in front and scores the first goal in playoff history for the Seattle Kraken last night, and they take down the Avalanche 3-1. Pretty wild.
Wow. First of all, them winning. Wow. Last night – in Stanley Cup playoffs, it's immediately everybody's like, "Well, the series doesn't start to you." Well, the series has started all over this league, man.
It sure has.
Yeah, that's a stunner. But also, like you said, being Tolvanen getting that goal. I mean, early on in the Tolvanen little hot streak with the crack, I'm like, "Yeah, okay, you'll see." Is he going to be just like a perennial, 25 goal scorer guy here?
He might be. It's a good play by him last night.
Okay.
He looked pretty good. Winnipeg takes down Vegas last night 5-1. Not only
there's
did
another
they win,
one.
The Winnipeg goes on the road. They win 5-1. Vegas had 17 shots 17 shots in the game last night for Vegas. So all of the road teams winning yesterday in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is pretty wild. And game two taking place tonight, Boston, Florida. You'll have Carolina playing tonight, Dallas and Minnesota tonight. And by tonight, I mean way late tonight, coming up for Dallas
Big
and Minnesota.
Big one for Dallas. I mean, there's a lot of teams looking at game twos at home. The pressure is immediately on.
No question about it. Last night in the NBA playoffs, the Cavs take down the Knicks, so that series evened up at 1. Boston is going to run away from Atlanta. They win last night. They're up 2-0, and I wouldn't be surprised if that one ends up in a sweep.
Yeah.
And maybe the most intriguing series of the first round, the Clippers and the Suns. Clippers get a big game 1 win. The Suns respond yesterday at home, win 123-109, and they've evened up that series at 1 apiece, too. So maybe a nice classic first-round series brewing between the Clippers and the Suns. But KD with 25 points last night. Booker went off, 38 points last night, 4-7 from 3. But Devin Booker was feeling it last night.
Yeah, and I'm in on that series for sure. I mean, the Russell Westbrook story, you know, what was he, like 3-for-19 in game one?
Yeah.
But he also is like the greatest rebounding guard ever, and he made and he had the biggest defensive. I mean, in that game, he had the strip or the block, right? Block of Booker, and then throws it off him out of a huge. I'm just so rooting for Russell Westbrook, you know, because he's been through a lot of crap. And look, it's in his head. He used to be an okay shooter. He can't hit the broadside of a barn now, but he's still out there making a difference.
Yeah,
and. By the way, so Paul George, is he out?
He's out for at least this series.
This series.
Out for this series for sure, yeah.
Boy, which is a problem.
That could be really interesting with him, you know, with Kawhi. I think that series has a chance to be special.
Game two tonight between the Lakers and the Grizzlies. Obviously, some local interest here with the Grizzlies and their playoff run. They lose game one, and Ja Morant gets hurt in game one. The x-rays were negative on his hand, so that's a good sign. He is a game-time decision tonight for the Grizzlies. And, you know, Taylor Jenkins said yesterday it's basically a pain tolerance thing, but anytime you've got your hand that you're dealing with, the shooting part of it is going to be critical. Can he shoot shots comfortably where he's feeling like his old self out there? Can he fight through it? Can they give him something to where he can play through it? You know, a lot of it's going to depend on how he wakes up today. So the good news is the x-rays were negative. But apparently he's in a significant amount of pain heading into this. So a game-time decision for Ja Morant tonight. And this is one, Joe, that the Grizzlies really need to get tonight at home if they're going to win this series.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because my sense is Ja's going to try to go. But I could really make a case. I know you're down 1-0. But I could make a case that you have a long break now until game three, which is it Sunday?
Yeah. I think so.
Right? I think it's Sunday.
Saturday.
It is Saturday. Yeah. No, but I mean, you still have those extra time. And if you just don't mess with it, maybe you come back in game three. I still think the Grizzlies at their best are better than the Lakers. But you don't want to go down 2-0. But you have played well at times without Ja Morant. I mean, Tyus Jones, really good player. Like, you have enough to beat them, I think, if you play your best game at home tonight. So it's a really. Because if you play and then it's a little bit sore and you don't give it the proper time to rest and you're never right the rest of the series, I think you're going to lose the series.
I would say what my expectation is he's probably going to give it a go tonight. He'll probably play.
That'd be my guess.
If I were the Grizzlies, I would look at Tyus Jones and I'd say, hey, you're going to get a few more minutes tonight. Like, yeah. we're gonna be really smart with how we're using Ja Morant tonight. And if he can play and he's not severely limited by the hand, then great. I mean, obviously – you know, he's got the athleticism. He could still jump out of the gym, which is how I got hurt in the first place. All that stuff. But how well is he going to be able to shoot? I mean, that's really the question. If he can't shoot, that's going to be a pretty big problem for the Grizzlies. They need him to be, I mean, he's going to get open shots either way. They need him to be able to hit those with some consistency.
Well, right. And some nights he hits shots, some nights he doesn't.
And that's with a healthy hand.
With a healthy hand. But what he always does is he – takes these absolute like daredevil swoops into the lane, which is how this happened. Which, by the way, I have some things to say about that.
Okay.
In the next segment, but like you have to kind of tone that down too right now, don't you?
You would think.
I mean, just jumping over Anthony Davidson.
Yeah. I mean, do you have to just shoot with your left hand tonight? I think he's going to try to go two. I think I might be trying to talk him out of it today.
I got a texter that says, Joe, you cannot give up any games to the GOAT. Ja can't sit if they don't want to get swept. This is from our Lakers texter who, before the series, called a Lakers sweep.
Yes.
Right now, they're on track.
Yes.
They look good.
They look good. I calm it down because, as someone pointed out, I mean, Hachimura hit every shot known to mankind the other day. There's a lot to go in this series.
He's a playoff performer.
Ja's healthy.
He's a playoff performer. Just got to wait on Hachimura.
He's like the new Robert Horry, man.
Yeah, he is. Also, game two tonight between the Heat and the Bucks. Giannis gets hurt in game one, and my beloved Miami Heat taking game one on the road. We'll see if they can keep that going.
Yeah, are they got you now?
Well, Tyler Hero got hurt, so.
So now you're back out.
But
you just
I will
want
say,
them to lose.
No, we're
hate
good now.
Watching them.
Now okay. That we've made it, let's just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
See if we can't take down Milwaukee. Could be good.
Good.
And then a series that apparently nobody has any interest in watching, but it's happening again tonight. Game two between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. This will be a nice sweep for Denver. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. T-Wolves, T-Wolves look good in the play-in.
They did. That's about all she wrote for the T-Wolves, I think. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Alex from Montreal on the text line says, the Maple Laughs won't get out of the first round again. Maple Laughs.
I
like that.
That's good.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that coming up next. Let me tell you about the Nashville Predators. Season tickets for the Preds 2023-24 season are on sale now. The Preds will be celebrating their 25th anniversary throughout next season. Full half and quarter season plans are available. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations at the best pricing, up to 50% off discounts on concessions throughout the season, and up to 6 bonus tickets to select games in the 2023-24 season as well, plus priority access to the 2023 NHL Draft and awards, both of which are hosted here in Nashville. You can learn more at nashvillepredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's nashvillepredators.com/season tickets.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day, you can check it out every morning at 7:45. I feel like we've probably not had enough Creed on the show lately. It's good to bring him back. Little Scott Stapp. Saw a nice Instagram reel the other day of like Scott Stapp, a live performance somewhere. Dude still got pipes, man.
Yeah, well, it was just, last year he was at Bridgestone, right? Yeah,
I can confirm that he still got him
a year
later. I still
went back to the press room and got some nachos instead of listening to him, but sure it was fantastic.
Scott, if you're listening, as always, we love you.
Maybe we can get a Creed Run DMC combo. Thank you to the texters for expressing their outrage at Michelle. Michelle did play.
I did know some of their songs, though. So thank you, Chris from Atlanta.
Okay.
I love Walk This Way. I love a song. I love it. Maybe I just didn't know who sang it. Sorry, guys.
Well, clearly you didn't know who sang it. That's okay.
It's all good.
We're all growing. We're all growing here on the show.
Correct.
What was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, the NBA.
Basketball.
I got some takes on the NBA today.
Okay.
I got a potpourri.
Smorgasbord?
So, first of all, my number one thing is I feel so bad for you if you're not watching these playoffs. I mean, we got somebody on the text line, oh, LeBron gets a hangnail, he misses the whole year, and in the hockey, they're so tough. Okay, fine. LeBron doesn't miss a whole year for a hangnail. I hate the load management stuff, too. The NBA's got some issues I got to fix. The playoffs are freaking awesome, people. I mean, just in the last weekend alone, Cavs-Knicks game one was great. Clippers-Suns game one was great.
Yep.
Grizzlies-Lakers game one was great, too. I mean, it got away from the Grizzlies, and it sucked that John Morant got hurt, but that was a heck of a game. And Warriors-Kings game one was just a freaking classic. These games are amazing. I feel so bad for you if you like sports and you're not watching the NBA playoffs. It's mind-boggling to me. There's one. Two, yes, I am also, speaking of issues for the NBA, giving Draymond Green a suspension for what he did the other night is such a chicken bleep decision.
I knew this was coming.
It's so stupid. And yes, I know, you can. I'm biased for Draymond, okay?
WHMR?
WHMR.
Homer.
WHMR, everybody. But objective, and a lot of people hate Draymond, okay? I get it. I mean, I played some pickup hoops last night. And by the way, my lower back's killing me. And someone out there is like, you know, I don't even know how it came up. Yeah, Draymond, he played in the 80s. He would have gotten the crap beat out of him. I mean, it's like people just hate him. And it comes up all the time. And that's fine. And he has gotten into too many of these things. He loses his cool. He deserves the criticism. I guess I'm okay with him getting kicked out the other night. You could argue that either way. You can't stop the way he did.
No.
You know? I mean, Sabonis grabbed his leg, but then you have to be smarter than that. To me, that's a great – I mean, what Sabonis did is actually what Bill Laimbeer used to do to people. Yeah. You know, he'd be like the first one, and then, you know, Kevin Duckworth gets the tech.
Sabonis was in a lot of pain after that, you know. He was in great physical pain.
Yeah. Oh, no. He was just pure agony. But after looking at all this information, your decision is to suspend him for a game. To hurt your product. You're hurting your own product. It's just, I mean, fine him all day long or whatever. That's a terrible decision. And then finally, some really good point-counterpoint columns this week at The Athletic from Zach Harper and John Hollinger about the charge. So I don't know if you guys saw this. Zach Harper column, I'll read the headline, why the NBA needs to ban the charge, in parentheses, because it's stupid and needs to go away. And this is in response to two plays. One, the John Morant play.
Yep.
And two, the Giannis, that was Kevin Love sliding in on Giannis. Who slid in on Ja? That was
Anthony Davis.
It was Anthony Davis, right. Those plays are terrible. Terrible, terrible plays that and rewarding defenders for sliding at the last second, especially now where we are with just speed and athleticism and everything. It's terribly dangerous, and that needs to go away. Officials need to stop rewarding that, and they need to start again penalizing for flops, which they don't do. They're supposed to do that. They don't ever do it. So get that out, okay? The weak side defender, last second sliding in. You know what? Weak side defender, you have two choices. You can sit there and get dunked on, or you can go up and try to block a shot and or foul someone and not let them have a layup. But this last second sliding in is garbage. But you can't ban the charge.
No, you cannot.
I mean, like, come
on. I was going to get there if you didn't. I was like, ban the charge. We're getting a little strong here.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You have to ban some kinds. And really, Zach does kind of argue, okay, if they're going to keep it, then expand the restricted area and some things like that. You know, there are alternatives. But, yeah, I mean, if you ban the charge – then, I mean, Russell Westbrook's going to come in and just, like, swing his arms and dunk on you. I mean,
LeBron would score 75 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have – I mean, I love playing on the playground where there's no such thing as a charge. You either try to challenge a shot or get out of the way. But in organized basketball, you have to have the charge. But, yes, sliding in, I mean, they talk about it. We talk about it all the time, flopping. And it's dangerous, especially in the NBA. And this is a great example. That cannot be rewarded anymore.
Well, I've always hated the sliding in late when somebody's already airborne at that point.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not in position by the time they're airborne, you should not be rewarded for that. And I would think that could be something that could be taken a look at. I mean, you've
talked about it.
They've talked about it, but it's got to be something that you know, for a couple of years ago, the big thing was, you know, people not giving shooters space to land after the three, right? And they talked about that, and they changed that, and now you've got to give people some landing room in the NBA when they jump up for a three. Now, that also led to people kicking their feet out and all this other stuff that I hate. But the charge part of this, you can't take the charge away because, like you said, then it's going to be just anarchy down there that you don't want. But I've always hated the, oh, yeah, LeBron jumped in the air a second and a half ago, and this defender just slid underneath him, and now it's a charge. It's ridiculous.
Incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Both of those plays, you're talking about two of the biggest stars in the game, and that's why there's all this outrage, because of who got hurt and how those plays looked, and it's, you know, it's the same day of the playoffs and all this stuff. But those plays like that happen to regular Joe players all the time too, and it just it cannot happen. I feel like NBA refs are a lot better at not going for flops than college refs.
I agree.
In general. But that stuff is inexcusable.
Joel on Twitter says, hey, Joe, I think it was Draymond's reaction after the ejection, instigating with the fans, that pushed it to a suspension.
Why?
He was already getting fined for the ejection.
Who cares?
And not for leaving promptly to stay and taunt the fans, probably force Silver's hand.
This Joel on Twitter. Force his hand. I'm going to force my middle finger up in the air. God. That's good. That's fun. He didn't do anything bad. He was like, come on. He was like, yeah, let me have it. That's awesome. Come on.
Well, the NBA
forced his hand.
Well, the NBA put out a statement. They didn't say anything about the fan stuff. It was the unsportsmanlike conduct that he has a history of.
Well, and it's also that play specifically, I mean, sitting in here for 3 hours the last 2 days, has probably played over 150 times on every single media form all over, and people are in outrage. It's like, okay, give him the ejection, fine him, whatever. To suspend him, I mean, it's because it's Draymond.
Right, and it's just... You're just
now again. You're hurting your own product. Doing stupid crap like that. Like
no question.
He's got to stop it.
No, like, and he won't. I mean, and the thing is, we've seen him miss games. I mean, look, they lost a title.
There's a very important game that he missed back in 2016.
No, they lost a title because of the, and even that one was like, I mean, I had this argument with Glenn, and it's like, oh, in slow mo, he's clearly I'm like, dude, he was like, get off me with his hands, but. No, he's paid for it. He's had too many texts, and he's had suspension, all that stuff. In this particular situation, you can't do this.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans and the NFL draft. That is next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game.